very purpose to this life is growth. Growth in any and every aspect.
Yes.
You know, whatever you take up, you need to know the basic foundation purpose is going to be grow. You know?
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Collins Odhiambo, and welcome to another episode of Collins Elevates You. We are all about shifting mindsets and raising potential to help you believe in yourself, work smart, set goals, and achieve success intentionally. Mr. Sujit is the founder of Inspiration Unlimited, a global inspiration media with 1 million readers. He's also the author of Life Simplified, a simple read that helps millennials between the ages of 14 and 28 solve complex life problems. He's an inspirational speaker who's addressed more than 5 million people. He was awarded the Connecting the World Award at One Life Fully Lived conference held in 2015 in Sacramento, USA, and is the returning ambassador for One Young World for 8 years.
How we met, the power of internet, man. What do you think, man? This is like amazing. This is the power of
Absolutely. I think it's the power of internet, power of technology, such an enabler. And of course, to all the listeners of your podcast, a very, very, warm hello and so much greetings. Thank you, Collins, first of all, for having me on your podcast. And I'm delighted, actually. And power of technology, absolutely power of technology. We can sit in two different parts of the world and talk and share such a beautiful conversation. And then hundreds and thousands of people can access it and listen to it and get the message out of it at any point of time and future at their convenience. I mean, amazing power of technology.
Yes, man. Perfect. I remember when I got that email, I was like, let me look who this guy is. I was like, this guy is real, first of all. And I just pray to God and I thank God out. I even made a status update. I screenshot the email and I told guys, keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on doing what you love, because you never know who you'll get a chance to connect with. You understand?
So Absolutely.
Internet is powerful, and you know, the power of just being able to connect. You're in your car, I'm in my bedroom right now, in two different and able to connect. So it was a fun way to meet, and I know you're going to have a deep connection as we continue. So
yes, definitely.
Yes, yes. So the first question is, let me just confirm about how has been your experience like growing up in India? What is the experience growing up in India?
I think growing up in India is a fantastic experience, Collins. Just as much everybody would love, the warm, and the fantastic love that they get from the society they are born into. It was as much similar for me, being born in a wonderful culture like India, but having traveled so many places and so many countries around the world, I feel so fortunate, to belong to a land with such diversity, so many languages, amazing cultures, there's so many festivals and such diverse belief systems, and so much of energy down here. When I go to other parts of the world, I do, learn so much from every culture, but I also feel very proud that, so much Indian culture has to offer to the world as well. So it's growing up in India is a lot of hustle, a lot of fun, a lot of learning, a lot of energy, and a whole power pack cultural exposure come, the exposure to such rising systems of education. And now, we are amidst such a big startup revolution, so much of innovation, of course, being a democracy, which is so huge, and now very soon to be the third largest economy in the world, and yet a developing nation. I think it's a land full of opportunities. As anyone is moving up the ladder of their career, is always going to find so many things to be able to do, innovate, start up, collaborate, invite enough strength, and have the numbers, ticking right really fast for themselves, because it's a massive land of opportunities and possibilities. So growing up in India has been absolutely delightful. And so much of all my success I credit to this wonderful culture and society for giving me. And it's only important that I give back, not only here and across the globe, through such mediums like podcasts. It's only important for me to give back. So that's how it is, Collins.
That is great, man. That is great. You know, I worked for an Indian CEO, and it is true. Like, you guys have festival. You used to fly out like all the time. I don't know if he was going to which festival. I don't know for which festival. And but then I wanted to confirm something. This just came to my mind.
Yes.
What I love about like the Indian and maybe Japanese is this idea of like, you have this idea of connecting with yourself, like on a deeper level. Like, people like Sadhguru, you know, things to do with meditation.
Correct.
Go on YouTube and search meditation. Like, most people talk about it are you guys, like you're the Indian guys. You understand? And even
absolutely, the, absolutely, I understand.
Has meditation played any role in your life?
First of all, Collins, you brought up a very interesting conversation. I do acknowledge that yoga as a culture has, you know, been credited to the Indian, you know, civilization, and how many, many thousands of years it dates back to. The fact that, you know, the yogis, the gurus, and all of that, you know, the culture has been on the Indian land for many, many thousands of years at this point in time, as we study some of the available, you know, historic resources. And we understand meditation has been in the culture of, you know, the Indian civilization as it transcended so many thousands of years. Of course, here and there, you know, the importance of it was kind of, you know, lost or missed at some point in time, or probably the, you know, the number of people practicing might have reduced. But you see, over these last few decades, and with all the power of internet and, you know, the amount of connection, you know, it's so deeply ingrained in the value system of this entire culture that it's very easy for us to get back to it. Or, you know, it almost feel like coming back home. So of course, amazing people like, you know, Sadhguru and Sri Sri Ravi Shankarji, and so many to name, you know, who, you know, propagate this agenda of yoga and meditation. And for me personally, you know, as you dive deep into understanding, you know, meditation, and you understand, you know, how important it is, you know, to tune your mind to the right frequencies, you know, focus on your breath, you know, elevate your, you know, self to a higher consciousness. All of these things, I think personally for me, maybe I haven't gone through the yogic culture through the activities and the acts of yoga. But I think through my entire work regime and the amount of, you know, work that I have put into grooming myself, developing myself, the, you know, focused study of several subjects, you know, as I realize and meet so many of these excellent gurus, and I talk to them and I ask them, you know, I haven't been on that side, you know, and I still have so much to learn from your side. They end up telling me, hey, Sujit, listen, you know, there are different kind of yogis, you know, you know, you probably come across as somebody who is like a karma yogi, you know, you put your efforts, you work, and through your efforts and work, you learn. You know, and quite possible, because at the end of the day, synergizing your thoughts and focusing them in one direction takes you to a much higher planes of thought process. And believe me, Collins, when I share this, you know, it has happened several times with me, because I sit for very long hours of planning on some of my ideas, you know, and I don't let myself, you know, get up from them, from there, irrespective of the kind of feelings that pass through me, you know, during those stretched hours of planning. You know, at times my brain even runs out of ideas, but I still keep pushing myself, you know. So you, under those circumstances, I have experienced, you know, a sudden shift, you know, of the kind of ideas that start coming to me, the way my subconscious starts answering every question that I had at the onset of my planning, and I was clueless, you know, a couple of hours down in the planning, but 7, 8, or 9 hours when I stretch myself and push myself just into the planning mode, I suddenly have revelations and ideas that I thought never existed in my brain. So, you know, when I discuss these things with such yogis and gurus, they tell me that this is exactly, you know, what is yoga meant to do, but in a different form, and you have pushed yourself to limits in a different form. So that's what it has been, Collins. And I agree with you, you know, there is so much to take from this rich culture of yoga and meditation. You know, even I am a seeker and I'm a learner. I'm still on my journey. I'm yet to get there, but in some or the other way, I'm lucky to have experienced the benefits, you know, without really having engaged into the activities that I'm yet to engage in.
Ah, that is great, man. I love it. You know, I've like watched a number of people, and I'm actually getting into the flow nowadays. I can even meditate for 1 hour, I came to learn that the best meditation is like not trying to control your thoughts, but just watching your thoughts as they come and they leave. And sometimes you even get solutions, you even get answers to some questions. Like for the longest time, by the way, I've procrastinated about the idea of writing a book. But recently, I had the idea in my book. It's actually called Ready and Qualified. Like trying to show people, or trying to teach people that we are all ready and qualified for our own unique greatness. I've had that in my mind, but I've never executed that idea. But when I'm a new dad, actually. I have a 2 week baby girl. So.
Wow, congratulations.
Yes, man. Things like she's just coming with blessings, you know. So
my goodness.
Yes. So like when I had to take now my paternity leave, during that period when I was meditating, an idea came to me one evening. I was like, if I was to write a book within the next 7 days and I was to be paid anything that I want, what will I write about? And do you know, in less than 30 minutes, I came out of this same bedroom with a whole structure and chapters of the book. And I believe it came through meditation. Like, once I relaxed and I stopped having that anxiety of, when will I write the book? Or what will the book be titled? What
will be about?
The only thing that came to my mind was, what have you learned through your life? What can you teach? And especially to to kids, especially because I faced so many challenges growing up in form of
self-care. I can only imagine.
Yeah. So I was like, if I can help kids, which you're going to actually talk about, if you can help kids see the promise, like Jim Rohn said, if you can help our kids see the promise, then the actions or what they're supposed to do right now, it will be easy for them. Because like in Kenya, I don't know about India, but in Kenya, if you are a candidate, the school will talk about, we want you guys to beat the last year's mean score. And they'll write the mean score on the blackboard for you guys to see. But I feel like about the students. Like, here's what I believe. If I had a school, I will never have like the top 10 students or the bottom 10 students. For me, I will celebrate the guys who improved the most. You understand?
Wow. Excellent.
I don't know what you think about that.
I find that very excellent. In fact, while spirit of competition has its own place in certain aspects to move you faster, stronger, better, you know, the very aspect that you help people compete with themselves and their own yesterday's self, I think that is excellent, you know, as long as you are able to drive that culture into the people in the right way, in a systematic approach, and help them be able to enhance themselves, their qualities day after day by competing with their own yesterday's self. I think there is no parallel that you can draw to that, you know, if people can really achieve that, you know. While I also, you know, in my growing up years, I observed societies and understood this, that the spirit of competition, you know, plays such a pivotal role when moving people, you know, progress, those who otherwise can. You know, competition with the surrounding kind of drives them, because it's a very simple, you know, response, you know, to the incoming threat. You know, it's more like, you know, my survival is at stake, you know, if I do not achieve this, you know, in case I do not make it to better grades, you know, my survival is, you know, is at stake. But reality is not that, you know, it's just your position amongst your peers, you know, or the perception amongst your peer in a certain way is going to be altered. But that's because, you know, the institution as a whole is promoting an agenda of moving you higher up because of the spirit of competition. And the competition is between people, you know, so that you rank better or you score higher, just the way companies have to perform with revenues, you know, the people on the sales have to perform with numbers, you know, you're being pushed to, you know, so it's a holistic, it's a whole system that you know, encapsulates this philosophy in several ways at several, you know, levels of life. So right from the school, you are moved towards the mean number, you know, at companies, you're doing with your revenues, you know, your performance, your key responsibility areas, your KRA, your KPIs, your key performance indicators, and all of those things. So I think, you know, it's a very deep-rooted system. It's been around for very long, you know, right? You know, even if you look at sports, you know, you're running sports, you know, if you want to be the fastest runner, you have to clock this much time, you know, you want to win a cricket match, you know, you have to beat the other team, you know, and their score, right? You know, so all of this is a very deep-rooted system, and hence probably they thought inculcating this at school level is also in some way going to drive people to gain that much knowledge and inculcate that habit. But you know, I mean, I'm also wanting to study a lot of schools like your ideas, you know, and understand what kind of long-term impact this has, where you do not have that kind of a competition and you just kind of groom the creativity. And I appreciate that school of thought, because you never know that that would end up creating such amazing creative leaders that they will be so busy creating and competing with their yesterday self. So in a way, you know, while these schools of thoughts will remain in some way, and these schools of thoughts will, you know, grow side by side with amazing leadership from people like yourself and so many others who are thinking on similar lines, I think this whole synergy and hybridized civilization will be such an interesting thing to watch. You know, so that's my take on what you're sharing, Collins. That's my take on it.
That is, you know, that is great. So, you know, there's this thing about, you know, finding your purpose in life. I feel like you receive your purpose. So I don't know. What do you think about getting to a place where now you have a niche, you love what you do, you have a purpose in life, serving other people.
Correct.
Like, what was it like? Like, how did you get to that position? You're like, you know what? This is what I'm supposed to do. This is my life purpose, because I think it's an important.
So Collins, I do agree. It's one of the most important aspects. And even after people find their needs, sometimes, you know, you tend to go in the reverse direction as well. Even that happens with some people. I've seen some amazing people, probably, like, you know, when I got to chess, I took to chess, I saw some amazing chess players even, you know, reach the grandmaster level and then kind of recede from even playing chess at some point in time, you know. So initially it was their calling, they worked really hard, they made excellent, you know, levels happen for themselves, and now they're receding from it, right? So while there's one side of this, the other side is, once you find your purpose, your niche, and you love what you do, life happens very smooth for you, because you just every day are so busy putting that energy out into the things that you really believe in. But like you asked, you know, how does it start for somebody like that, right? I'll be very honest, you know, after all of that journey of trying to figure out, what am I here for? What's my purpose? What's my niche? Where am I going to really put all my energy in? What is it that I can bring as value to this world? You know, and so many of these questions going on deep in my mind, that's when my book, Life Simplified, happened, when I thought I figured those answers. You know, it's a coffee table read for young people between 14 to 28. But the book happened simply because the solution happened for my life. And the solution was, and this is one of the, you know, prime chapters of my book as well, that life's purpose, according to me and my understanding of life until then, and even until now, this goes, you know, undefeated and unchallenged still, you know, that the purpose really to life is so much around us. If you look around, you know, that everything around us is growing, you know, our nails grow, the universe is expanding, you know, the tree grows from a seed to becoming a tree, giving fruits, it lives certain age, and then probably, you know, probably it doesn't live anymore after a certain period of time, you know, age, you know, of different, or I would say the mean average lifespan of different species is different, but at the end of the day, if you really see, everything starts from a small egg, or from a small seed, or from a small, you know, even the universes, you know, the black hole, I mean, the Big Bang theory, that we all started out from, you know, almost nothing, and then we, you know, that small mass, and then exploded, and then now we are ever expanding universe, right? So when I saw this, you know, even our hair, it grows, and we, you know, it keeps coming back as basic as that. So I felt the very purpose to this life is growth in any and every aspect. You know, whatever you take up, you need to know the basic foundation purpose is going to be grow. You know, you take up singing, or you are good at singing, or you are interested in singing. Let's take this case, right? You got to grow as a singer. You got to grow your audience. You got to grow your ability to sing well. You got to grow the number of notes, or the number of, you know, I would say different kinds of melodies that you can actually bring out from your, you know, vocal cord. And, you know, you got to grow the number of, songs that you've sung. You know, every key parameter around singing has to grow, you know. Or you could choose one and you could grow that to a very large number. You could probably just, you know, do one song in your life, but make sure 1 billion people have listened to it, you know. So it growth could be in any aspect. As an entrepreneur, you have to grow your team, you have to grow your ideas, you have to grow your impact, the number of users, the revenues. As an author, you have to make sure that the number of books you write, you know, are growing. Mm-hmm. The quality of books you write is growing. The kind of number, you know, the number of readers you have is growing. So, you know, any and every profession, the moment you're interested in something and you start putting your energy into it, growth becomes the basic foundation you need to keep in your mind. So that happened, you know, very strongly for me. And I understood this basic concept and I said, okay, what am I good at right now? What am I interested in? You know, that's it. I'm going to grow in this direction, put all my energy without any confusion. And when I started doing that, Collins, you won't believe, one after the other, I started figuring out the purposes of my life. I wouldn't say, you know, I'm here for one single purpose. You know, when I say purposes, I just mean, you know, when I thought of inspirational speaking, oh yes, it happened for me. I decided the key parameters. Number one, the number of people impacted by my speeches. The number of speeches I deliver. The number of formats of these speeches I deliver. I could go online, you know, on a Zoom webinar, or I could go, you know, offline on several stages. I could address young people. I could address corporates. I could address, you know, I have at 23 years of age done a talk on how to live a happy married life with very satisfied audience when I wasn't married still. I wasn't yet married, by the way, you know. So I feel, but I had to grow. I've delivered sessions, you know, to forums which involved tourism, you know, to forums that involved education, you know, One Young World, 180 nations under one roof, you know, education plenary is what I chose. I wanted to empower and inspire people to take up, you know, literacy as a personal challenge in those nations where people are not yet fully literate. Right. So some of these things, what I would say is the number of stages, the number of nations, the audience size, maybe 4.5 million people addressed through various forms of my speeches. But I'm not stopping here. I'm going to continue this. Today, I see so many people listen to podcasts. So I make this time often to share my message with several such podcast creators like yourself, you know, to make sure that people are able to draw value from all the experience that I have so that they can find their purpose, you know, find a meaningful value into their life. If they are having challenges making way up their career, they find those solutions, or some second voice that tells them, hey, listen, you're doing it right, or oh, you need to do this, and this is how you could make amazing things happen, you know, you know, ahead in your career. So just to sum it up, I think the first one is growth, and then second, whatever you get interested in, it just does not happen by coincidence. There's a reason. You don't get interested in everything, you know. There is a reason. So that is a universe sent message to you. So assume you really love creative things. There is a very high possibility that there is a career lurking out there which will enhance and use your creativity levels and bring your best creative side onto the table. You know, you love delivering speeches. You get very, very kicked when you listen to motivational speakers. Let's say you really get inspired by them. You're able to appreciate that. You can be 100% sure there's some sort of an inner calling driving you that possibly you have that angle inside you. So if somebody is, you know, right now who's listening was thinking, I have several interests, you know, that would leave me in a place where I have to practice everything. So I would give you just two hacks. Remember, you know, if somebody tells you you can't be a writer, speaker, artist, entrepreneur all at the same time, I think, you know, that's absolutely incorrect. You know, if you were to take up one interest at a time, excel at it, give you a 100% to start with and convert that into a, you know, passion for yourself, one after the other, you will find enough time to, you know, encapsulate into yourself several of these areas of expertise. You know, I mean, look at Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, and so many others. You know, back then there was nobody to tell them, hey, listen, you can't develop more than one expertise. You know, today we have people, you know, who, you know, are trying to tell us that we cannot develop more than one expertise because they say 10,000 hours is what it takes to develop one of them. I'm not saying you could be master of all, but you certainly can be master of multiple things today. The opportunity to learn the resources, the availability of them is definitely way higher than once upon a time. You want to do two courses of two different types. They are both available online. You have access to those mentors. Your time span to get access to them is so short that right when you think right now, you want to learn how to completely, you know, come up with your own blog and market it and what are the business strategies. You could just Google up courses on that and get them at your disposal right now. Take 20, 30 hours to finish that, and then another 20 hours to put it in place. That's it. And after that, boom, you're just marketing it, right? So it wasn't that easy 10 years ago. So now it boils down to, if you get interested in something, pursue it. You know, a few hundred hours, maybe 200, 300 or 500 hours. Once you have invested 6 months of time consistently into it at a regular interval of maybe 2 or 3 hours a day, then you will have a sufficient feedback if you have the strength, ability and acumen to make that happen in your life as a career for yourself, or as a passion that fulfills you but doesn't really pay you, or as a hobby that will sustain with you, or as something you will just say, drop. This isn't for me, right? So you invest that much of time and then make these calculations and tell yourself, this is it. If it's your passion that's going to pay you, just go for it. This is one of the careers you have invested 100% time into it. If it is something that's going to be a hobby, it's okay. It's totally okay. Keep it in your part-time. 3 hours a week, invest it, develop an idea around it, leave it in place while you still next figure out what your next calling for life is, which can also become a part of your livelihood. Like you said, when I thought to write about my book, Ready and Qualified, it just came from me, right? So once you do that, you know, and now you write that book in 7 days. So if you think you can write in 7 days, you know, Collins, you actually can. All you need to do is push yourself really hard, sit down for those many hours, just get writing. If the draft comes down to about 150 pages, you never know, your first book was meant to be 150 pages, right? But then you stipulate the timeline, you let yourself flow, you put the content together, and today Kindle publishing, self-publishing tools, all of them can help you get your book up and live in no time. Right. So with that, I think this is what I would love to share. And I would like to say that passion or purpose can be figured, starting with an interest, then committing to it, delivering a few hundred hours to it, figuring out if that's your call or not, but eventually remembering anything and everything you put your time and efforts into, growth is the only bottom line that you need to remember, and that solves everything. So that's how your life gets simplified completely.
I agree with you like 150%. As a matter of fact, I had one of my biggest problems was actually procrastinating and not believing in myself. But I won an award, a speaker's award. It's a very interesting story. I was about to give up. I was about to give up, by the way, making videos and inspiring people. I was about to give up. So, like, I threw in the towel, but God threw it back to me and told me, relax, my friend. We are just getting started. And I remember, guess what? Life is so funny, man. Around that time, there's a competition comes around whereby you're supposed to make a 6-minute video, and the topic was you have to say something about a positive attitude. Now, here's the thing.
Wow.
Here's the thing. Up to that point, I'd made like 60 videos for free.
Okay.
And when I started making these videos, I didn't have any experience. I just wanted to, you know, to create videos and just to create something. And the idea that came to my mind was, you know, make videos. So I started making videos. After like 62 videos, I wanted to give up. This opportunity came my way. And what I've come to learn, I normally tell people, at times in life, your purpose will come in very different ways. And at times,
correct,
it will not manifest clearly to you because you're in the preparation stage. So I was actually, I was actually preparing for that opportunity because it came. I was going against, it was a competition around East Africa. And guys who I was competing with were some guys who were making videos for the first time. But God had taken me through that process, or life had taken me through that process, making those videos to a point where, when I was about to give up, an opportunity came. Guess what? That opportunity came with a scholarship, a public speaking scholarship. It came with a trophy. I normally look at that trophy like, what's up? What's up? I see you. It's normally there. And you know what? right now, I have a car. I did not buy that car. I got that car from that competition, from making a
video.
Imagine.
Wow, amazing. Congratulations. You know, imagine.
Yeah. And
all of your experience, which you thought was going to be, you know, of no use, and suddenly it comes to use, and that opportunity now drives you to keep doing and keep pursuing, keep believing in yourself.
Wow.
Amazing. Like, congratulations.
Yes. I was like, thank you. And I was like, I'm not stopping, I'm continuing. And that event, you know, after that is when I registered my business. I was afraid. I was like,
wow.
I'm not gonna make it. I registered my business. I'm a graphic designer. So even this
nice. Is
all these t-shirts, everything that you see me putting on, I designed it. So even the design that I was doing was actually preparing me for this opportunity. You understand?
Now amazing.
The videos and everything, I do them because of the preparation that I was taking. So I think at times getting to our purpose is a matter of understanding. It's a process. It's something that you'll have to like prepare towards. And one day, yeah, or something will happen that just to confirm to you, and you have to continue after that. You understand? So
absolutely, wonderful.
So you know, fact is, I normally like speaking the truth. I know I don't like just giving people so much hope and then leaving them hanging. The fact is,
what I get it.
Is you had to go through some hardships before you got to where you are right now. I know
absolutely.
You felt even like giving up on this. I mean, I had some of your podcasts. You started speaking at 22 years. I know guys would be like, now this 22-year-old, what will you tell us? You understand? So I know the challenges. I know there's some challenges that you went through. But what I'm interested in is maybe what was your mindset around the challenges that you're facing? Like what were you telling yourself to? Sorry for that. what are you telling yourself to allow you to keep on going? Like, what was your mindset when you are facing those challenges?
First of all, Collins, you are absolutely right. It's never going to be all rosy. There will be several challenges, several, not just one or two, not just few of them. There will be a lot of hardships. You know, the bigger the size of your goal, mm-hmm. the greater the challenges you will have to deal with,
yes.
right? So that is something you must know. So the easiest way not to face too many hardships is not to have a goal at all. You know, and that is a life, and that is a life harder than any other form of life. So now, my friend, take it. Either you're going to have hardships achieving your goal, or you're gonna have a life full of hardships with no goals accomplished.
Choose.
I felt the choice is better to have larger goals, and let me go for the largest ones, you know, as large as they can get. So when I took to speaking, and I took it as early as 18 years of age, I started marketing products and delivering speeches when I was just 18. And at 19 and a half, I was awarded amongst 100 speakers, the best speaker award in my country, addressing a crossing that fact, you know, when I decided this is just the beginning. You know, today this is a national stage, and one day I want to take it international, and one day I want to see a dream come true of addressing people from every single nation on the planet, you know. So when the dreams grew larger, you know, when the dreams upsized themselves, naturally the difficulties, the way I had to upgrade myself, you know, the way I had to put up with what all I need to learn and then have a strike of balance in my life, fund myself, grow myself. And also as I, moved across this journey, I picked up several other dreams. The problem with people who are creative visionaries like me, you know, that's how people call me. You know, that's how a lot of entrepreneurs like to tell me, hey, listen, Sajid, you are a creative visionary, you know, because, you know, from the very fact that few things or few experiences, you know, combined together, I can come up with 10 new ideas with that. And then some of them feel so deep that I want to do something about them. So, you know, so these are also the challenges that I face. But some of the hardships, Colin, some of the hardships, you know, a lot of people reject you. They don't accept you. They want to discourage you. They don't want to believe in the dreams you have. And at the very beginning of your your career or when you're just starting out on something you're interested in and you're just beginning to, you know, sow the seeds of your dreams, it's very important that you find an environment that supports you, right? I mean, yeah, at least a lot of people expect that. And I too was some amongst those people who would expect that. But then as I grew, I realized, you know, it's easier not to expect that. Just make sure that you invest 100% energies on making your dream happen and then go back to those people and share it. Hey, listen, here's what I've accomplished. Because if you keep waiting for people to believe in you, it's never going to happen. But coming back with all of this background, I want to share with you that some of the internal challenges, the self-doubts, you know, the hardships of wanting to give up, you know, and wanting to say that, no, this is not my cup of tea. The way you deal with them, at least the personally for me, the way I dealt with them, sometimes quotes would be very handy, trust me. The other times, my mentors were very handy. I would reach out to them and say, I'm feeling quite negative. Very honestly, I'm not up to the mark and I don't think this is happening. And my mentors would have a piece of advice for me in that right time. And you always will find mentors. Today in the world, if you, you know, buzz anybody, you have Twitter, you have Facebook, you have so many social media accesses to amazing people who have done so many amazing things that you can reach out to them and say, can I get your 30 minutes of time? And you have tools like Zoom, WhatsApp, video call, and so many other things that will enable you to communicate with them for 20, 30, 40 minutes. And if you genuinely tell them, I'm really seeking for help and mentoring, would you mind giving 30 minutes of your time? Because I'm going through a phase of self-doubt. I really need an input and an advice. I will tell you, there will be so many people ready to give you that bit of quick advice and you will be back on your track.
Yes.
And some of the quotes that really helped me, of course, you know, when tough times come, you know, tough people will last, you know, tough times don't last, you know. And the second thing that always helped me was one of my mentors would always say, Sujit, tough time is like a phase. And for every phase, there's only a few words that you need to remember. I said, what are those words? And he said, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. This too shall pass. And I kept repeating to myself whenever there were tough times, Sujit, this too shall pass. It's totally okay. One day there'll be a brighter side on the other side. So you need to, and also the third thing that helped me a lot, you need to have a circle of positive, outgoing, you know, people with so much of dreams who are also making their way up. Because when you need a feedback in a terrible situation, if you reach out to those people who do not have too many dreams, who are not really ambitious, not doing that much of hard work or not hustling, you will get a negative feedback much of the time and that will put you down on your energy levels. Because so these three things, I always kept a track, you know. Oh, yes. And I kept that. But, and last but not the least, Collins, the books. Everything that I read in my life. You know, I was a non-reader, a complete non-reader, you know. But every single day, 30 minutes, make it a point to read because you can never cut trees without a sharp axe. If you don't invest time in sharpening your axe and you keep cutting the trees, one day the axe will be useless. You will take hundreds of hours to cut your trees. If you were just to sharpen your axe for 5 hours, you will take an hour to cut the trees. Of course, I'm not promoting, you know, cutting down trees. I'm a promoter of, you know, planting trees. But then just for the example's sake, if you need to make sure that you are investing 1 minute in execution, invest 1 minute in planning as well. Sharpen your axe, upgrade your skills, upgrade your knowledge, read books regularly, and you're lucky you're in the YouTube generation, you know, video generation. You could just, you know, plug into the right content. But remember, what you feed here, you know, is what is going to come out of you. If you feed the wrong things, today we set up an inspirational media, IU, because we believe people every day need to engage with positive content, positive stories, positive news, because every day when you engage with that, you are building a self out of yourself, which is very positive. So that's how I really tackled those times, Collins.
That is perfect and so true. And talking about the YouTube era, by the way, you know, I play basketball. I still play basketball to this year, and I've learned so much, you know, like, when you come and look back is when you start realizing all the life lessons that are, for example, in anything that you're doing. For example, for me, it was in my basketball. I learned that there are so many life lessons from my life as a basketball player. And one of them is basically, I normally tell young kids, man, like, it's sad that I'll go to a basketball court. I'm 31 right now, but I still have a problem.
Okay.
I'm 31. I still have a basketball program. Like when I go to train, I know I'm going to do this for 10 minutes, this for the, like I learned this by watching a documentary on Michael Jordan years and years ago. And I've used that to this.
Wow.
I normally tell kids, like, right now, you guys have access to the internet. Not like in our days.
Correct.
There are a million basketball drills and exercises to help you online.
If
you
just go and Google
basketball drills PDF, you'll get a PDF. You'll get drills. So this idea of you coming to the basketball court and just hanging around waiting for a coach to show up is no excuse. Like, to me, it doesn't make sense, especially in this generation. And what you say is...
Absolutely.
Like, you have to execute. You understand? You don't have to wait for somebody to come to show you, like, what you're supposed to do, especially in this era. That is something that I normally preach, like, anywhere that I go. Like, recently, I got an opportunity to speak at a basketball camp. I told the kids the same thing. Stop watching highlights. Like, it's like you're just watching the good moments. Go and listen to the interview. Understand? Like, yeah, go and listen to the interviews and you realize, oh, so these guys put in more work before they get those highlights. You'll understand how they approach the game. Like, I once watched Michael Jordan say that when I go to a game, when I'm with the ball, I'll see some opportunities on how I can beat this guy and go drive and go under the rim. If you've never taken time to, like, even work on your game alone, that idea will never come to your mind. And once I had that, I was like, oh, so you mean if I go and work on myself alone, these ideas will come to my mind. And let me tell you, not that I'm bragging or anything, I'm good at basketball. And it's because of that work that I actually put in by studying Jordan, Kobe Bryant. I don't just watch the
amazing.
I prefer watching their interviews than even watching their highlights, because you understand how they think.
You understand how they think. Wonderful.
Yeah, you know, you understand. These guys don't just guess. They just don't come to the court and they perform. There's something they do behind it, and it even makes you respect greatness. You understand? So,
and there's a lot they do behind it, right? There's a lot they do behind it.
That is the fun part, like preparing. Like, I'm preparing and I'm telling myself, somebody that I'm going to play against right now on a Friday night, I don't drink, I don't smoke. That guy has gone to drink and maybe smoking and partying. And tomorrow, we are going to be playing on the same court. He doesn't have any chance. And that gives me that motivation. Understand? So I understand when you talk about, you know, this generation where we have access to information and you should not have excuses on how to get
correct
or on how to learn. So that is
wonderful.
I really believe in that and I really appreciate. Now, on your book, man, I was impressed when it was so specific. Like, between 8 and it helps millennials in solving complex problems. That was, I was like, this is it. Now, this is now scaling down to fine detail.
Narrowing down, you know?
Yes, yes. So maybe you can just tell us about what exactly inspired you to write the book, because you talk about solving problems. So I think there's some problems that maybe you went through that.
Oh, yes.
And you wanted to help.
Oh, yes. Though I've shared so many things on this podcast already, which kind of already give, you know, the listeners why I wrote that kind of a book, you know. But I'll try to keep this one, you know, short, because this is something so easy. I was going through several complexities, Colin, you know, whether it was finding my purpose. So many people telling me, follow your heart, but nobody really telling me, you know, how to find what's there in my heart. You know, I have so many things in my heart. You know, if I started following everything in my heart, I will split myself into a million pieces. You know, how to balance that, how to find my career, how to get my right advice on what's my interest, what's passion, when do I know an interest can be converted to commitment, when do I know happiness is something I need to chase, what is happiness after all, why grow, why do all of these things when I know one one day I'm really going to anyway leave the planet. Mm. You know, so many of these things when they were hitting my mind again and again, you know, what is the difference between dreams and goals? Why do some of these dreams just come and they fade away? What's daydreaming? What's setting up goals and really going for it? How much of time does it take to achieve those goals? And relationships, so many things to tackle in this world. You're living in an ecosystem which is with so many other humans in the civilization at the same point. You know, there is position, there is, you know, dimension to it. There are disciplines to each one of them. There is an art of networking out there. You know, there's an art of getting the things right. There's an art of influence. There's an art of, you know, delivering to your, you know, work. There's a way to be productive. And there's a way two people invest 10 hours, but one gets better results, one gets lesser results. After going through so many of these things, finding the right balance and right answers to myself, I just felt, and plus I need to tell this to every listener, I am the perfect example of a non-reader. I did not like reading, you know. So somebody would tell me, you will find all your answers in the books. And I would say, I don't like reading, right? I don't like reading. So that's when I thought about people. So I narrowed down even further, Collins. If you see the, you know, description of my book, I say it's for people between 14 to 28. Mm-hmm. And specifically for non-readers. Mm-hmm. You know, this book is a coffee table read for non-readers, and I bet they will enjoy it so much that they will come back telling me, this is the first ever book, Mr. Lalwani, I've read it completely. And I must tell you, Collins, out of the few thousands of people who have read this book already, you know, 99%, that would be a too much of statistic, maybe 90% plus people have come back and told me this is the first book that they have read completely from end to end. Because this is short, this is a coffee table read, flows like a conversation, has the important quotes boxed up on the left, you know, so all of those things make it very engaging for the millennials like us who would not so much take to reading otherwise. And then the confidence of having read a book completely just boosts you to more and more reading. And this has been a response from most of my readers. And all the complexities that I address for myself and this gist that I saw so many other non-readers not getting the right book to read, both of them came together and Life Simplified happened, my dear friend Collins.
Ah, that is great, man. That is great. And I'll have to get that. Like, I have to get that book. I have to read it with my coffee.
And for all the people you coach basketball and the students you coach, this will be the perfect gift for their birthdays or New Year's or whatever it is.
I'm going to get that book. Now, another thing is, you've traveled around the world. I don't know. Maybe what is one thing that you think is holding us back as millennials? Like, have you maybe noticed? I know you've noticed a number of things, but maybe what is one thing that you believe is really holding us back as millennials from, you know, living our greatest life, living something that I called living the elevated life, a life where you are aware of yourself, where you, what you want, and what you're supposed to do on this planet. So maybe you can just share maybe one thing that you've seen.
I think, Collins, that's after a lot of observation, it's been very easy to spot that one thing which I believe is holding all the millennials back is massively upsized dreams, but very, very minutely upscaled skill sets and confidence levels. You know, because we are exposed to so much on the internet. We want a Lamborghini. We want a Ferrari. You know, we want to own private jets. We want to own an island. But then when it comes to upskilling ourselves and upgrading ourselves and staying patient about it and slowly grooming ourselves to those destinations, we think it's all going to fall apart and we don't have the acumen to achieve that. Mm-hmm. What I want to tell everyone, you know, all the millennials listening, having big and upsized dreams is absolutely not wrong, in case you can understand that even 1 million can be reached from zero only by going through 10 and then 100 and then 1,000 and then 10,000 and then 100,000 and then 1 million. Whether it's $1 million or 1 million, you know, audiences you want to address, you know, like a speaker like me, I had to do 35 people in my first show, and so many times people didn't even turn up, you know, 5 people, 20 people, 30 people, and then from there 30,000 people, you know, 10,000 people, 20,000 audiences. So it is all going to add up, but you can never forget that it's all going to add up. It's not going to be all of it at once and at the beginning. It's going to be at some point of time. So huge, massive exposure to very large scale dreams, you know, and how people on that particular place feel, because we can listen to everyone's interviews and all of that, and already feeling those feelings inside us without going through the same efforts and kind of losing the thrill. I already know how it feels when I get there, so I'm not kind of interested, those kind of excuses. But I really feel it's important that we understand we are unique for the dreams we feel, and we need to put efforts right from the smallest, you know, thing that we're going to achieve now. Celebrate them like that's the largest thing to happen in life, you know, and keep those very big dreams at the back of your mind for far, you know, distance in your life while you make a plan to achieve the near-term goals one after the other that are continuously moving you in that direction. And I think that's one of the biggest problems that's holding us back. And the second is information overdose. Today, we have enough information, but we don't have direction. So one of the things, you know, I would like to share with all the listeners, you know, I am a one-on-one coach as well. In my free time, as an entrepreneur, I like to dedicate myself to individuals. I can't obviously dedicate to everyone, but I like to do these Zoom webinars or one-on-one coaching at times, you know, sometimes in mass and sometimes one-on-one, where I kind of help people understand how direction is more important than information in this age. We're living in an era where information is in abundance, but direction is absolutely not found that easily. We are confused. And that confusion can only be solved with the help of a mentor by narrowing down. That's why from the definition, 14 to 28, non-readers, young people, and only those who are making their way up. This is not for everyone else, is how I understood that everything that we are doing needs to get narrowed down, because information overdose has expanded our understanding of everything. We try to be so broad about everything. No, my dear friends, it's important in this era more than ever to narrow down, and come as specific as you can, as specific as you can. So these are the two things holding us back, Collins. And I know you agree with it, my dear friend, but I'm so happy that this podcast is going to help several people find direction simply because at least they'll be aware that information overdose is confusing them. So when you do that, sit down, introspect, take a deep breath, narrow down on what you really want to do.
Yeah, that is true, man. That is so true. And speaking about narrowing down, after going through a process also with my mentor, I came to understand that I was also more interested in helping kids, because I believe they are the future. So if you can
help
if you can help them with their mindset and how they view life, how they view money, how they view failure, how they view fear, if you can help them at a young age, then we can be sure of a better future. So I want to ask you maybe, what is one topic, for example, that you think should be taught in school that is not being taught in school right now?
Maybe just I think it's the art of networking. How do you build connections? How do you socialize? And how do you mobilize those connections for productive growth mutually? So the art of networking in sum total would be one subject that I would love to introduce at schools over the period of 10 years, give them that insight on building teams, building collaborations, because we are never going to live in isolation.
Before we come to a close, let me just say, first of all, man, thank you so much, man, for reaching out. Thank you for connecting. You are now part of my story. I'm now part of your story.
Wow. Absolutely. Forever.
Yes, man. I'll be able to, and I hope one day we'll be able to meet face to face and have like
a, we will.
Yes. Have like a live show where we're now face to face. We met, you know, and I don't take this for granted. I take it really seriously, because this is like a confirmation. Like, I never reached out, but like, there are so many podcasts and there are so many Kenyans outside here, but we're able to come together, and I don't take that for granted. You know, it is, there's a reason.
I understand
why we connected, you know. So I'll never forget that email. I'll never forget this podcast. So I'm really thankful for that. And also want to appreciate you for the good job that you're doing, for everybody that you're elevating, because my brand is about, you know, shifting mindsets and raising potential. So
wow,
I feel like you're doing the same thing in your own way, and you motivate
in our own ways.
Yes, like I was listening to your podcast, one of your podcasts, and I was like, peeling back the layers of your life podcast. I was listening to that episode actually. You can see here. I was listening to that podcast, and I was like, this guy is great. What he's doing is amazing, and you should continue doing it. Continue elevating people, continue changing mindsets, and I know God will bless you and more doors be open to you.
So, likewise, Collins, likewise, it's been a pleasure connecting with you. And I'm a big believer that any of the people that come together because of the calling of the universe, and it's only our pleasure to connect with you. And I know this is not one time. It'll be my pleasure, sometime in Kenya when we host a very large gathering. I will surely be very happy to share the stage with you, and then we impact and elevate lives of people. All of these things are bound to happen. I know it, but the calendar is yet to turn the date for us, and that will turn the fate for us.
Yes. That is true. That is true. Man, I'm really thankful. Like, I'm really pumped. Like, you just don't know what is going through my mind. Like, you know what, Collins? You have to keep on creating. You have to keep on going. And this all happened after, just slowing down a little bit and, meditating and letting the answers come to me. And I believe these are just confirmations, you understand? So, I
really, absolutely.
Yeah, this is great, man. This is great. So, as my last question, before we close, where can my listeners find you online?
Oh, yes, definitely. Twitter is a place where I am very frequently found. As such, I'm there on LinkedIn as well. As such, I'm on Facebook as well. But Twitter is a place where I'm quite active. So they can just go and say SUJITLALWANI and we will get connected. And if any of the listeners are listening right now, if you've already come this far, like I always say this on any of the interviews, I say, make it an effort to come on Twitter, tweet out a tweet, for us, and say what you really learned from here, or you love, listening on the show, or any other feedback that you might have. And I'll be very happy to connect with you and get connected with you, because universe would want us to connect. So that's where, people can find me, Collins.
Yes, yes. So guys, if you're listening to this podcast, man, make sure that you connect with this great guy, man. He'll give you so much value. Even go on YouTube and just watch his videos, like the energy, like this video when you're talking to this company, I think it's called One Life or something like that. Like the energy, like the introduction, I was like, I'm confident that I'm going to be interviewing this guy. So make sure that you watch him out, check him out, connect with him, ask him questions. So that
I love it.
Yes, that you'll be able to elevate your life. Now, for the last question is, what is your definition for living an elevated lifestyle?
I think when you are able to look within for answers, believe in yourself, move towards your dreams, like you said and like we discussed, one after the other day, competing with your yesterday self, elevating yourself one step at a time, each time, and you know it deep within for yourself that you have more faith in your dreams than all the fears together can shake you. I think that to me means the most elevated lifestyle, where every single day of yours is about experiencing more, learning more, and doing more. So one of the things I always say, I will hack it up in just one word, and that's called live bad to live well. And many people ask me, how do you live bad to live well? And I say, BAD, be more, accomplish more, and do more. So all of these three things, I leave it with everyone. You be bad to be great. Be more, achieve more, and do more. Be more, accomplish more, and do more. That will sum it up for all of you.
Poof! That is a great one. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. Thank you for everybody who's listening. If you have any questions, leave it in the comment section, and we'll make sure that we get back to you. Other than that, guys, remember to love your life, live fully, and create a legacy. It's your boy again, Collins Odhiambo, and we are out. Thanks so much, man.